Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind. Like you never know, but things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain.
Go wrong, he'll make them right.
Okay, we're live.
Amen. How about your brother JP? You in there?
I'm here.
You there, JP?
I'm here.
All right, how you doing this evening?
Good.
I think your phone's not... Is your phone charged?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it must be the station because the music was kind of rattly there. Well, I'm glad that you're on this evening for me tonight. I want to thank you very much. Would you like me to pray us in this evening?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I want to thank the listeners for listening. You're listening to Sound Doctor Live broadcast. We have some technical difficulties. This seems to be a reoccurring theme with Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what's wrong with Blog Talk Radio. I certainly know it's not our operator, and it's certainly not our switchboard. So if you're not receiving this properly, you know, feel free to call Blog Talk Radio or text them and make a complaint for us because, you know, we don't understand what's going on here. But we want to thank the listeners from around the world who have participated in our prayer program. I listened last week. We had Ladies' Night, and it's usually the third week of every month. This month, it'll be on the fourth week again. Sister Joanna on with Sister Marilyn. And we just want to thank you, listeners. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your support. We appreciate the emails, the mail, and your phone calls. And we'd like to start this program with J.P. Alves. J.P. Alves is a young man who's a Christian, strong Christian brother, a leader of our church, leads a youth group. J.P. Alves is our usher in our church, junior usher. Usher. We have a junior usher, but he's 14 years old. So JP's got something on his heart. The Lord is going to preach to us tonight. We're going to listen. I'm on the road, and I'd like to apologize. I've unfortunate set of circumstances. I don't even have my own telephone to call into the station to patch in. So I'm going to turn this over to JP Alvin. Let's have a prayer. Holy Father, we want to thank you, God, for the mighty works which you do. We want to thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for your wonderful things you do for us. And Lord, we just ask you that tonight set aside JP Alvin's flesh and give Brother JP the wisdom to bring across the message that you have received, and that you would open hearts and prepare the way for us, Lord. Prepare the message and prepare the way. And I thank you, Father God, for this evening and for this radio broadcast, the Sound Doctor broadcast, where we can reach people to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here tonight, to glorify your Son, and for no other reason. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The program's yours.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Well, I hope that you can get home safely, and I'll see you when you get here, Peter.
All right, you don't have you have to make sure that nobody has a radio on behind you or a computer, or it'll pick up both voices.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, brother.
All right, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight, I don't know if the listeners or Brother Peter has taught this lesson before, but if he hasn't, it's nice to go over it. Maybe he didn't get something the first time. So tonight we're going to do Lesson 17, and that lesson is The Christian Home, Part 1. So the main point of tonight's lesson is, how should your walk with God affect your relationships with your family? The home was the first of three institutions ordained by God, the other two being the local church and government. Functioning homes are the backbone of our country and our society. Hence, it is not surprising that the enemy attacks the home vehemently. Divorce rates are alarmingly high, generation gaps seem to expand, and communication barriers mount, even in Christian families. It appears that many family members have ill-convinced ideas of their role in a functioning family. The reasons for the problems are manifold, but there is a cure. Jesus Christ can change any home if the members and work together. A functioning home is critically important to its members, as it can become heaven or hell on earth. In the bad case, it makes its members ineffective in the ministry. In the good case, it provides much-needed support and confidence to children and necessary balance to adults' work life. So tonight's lesson is designed to explain the foundations of the Christian home and the roles of different family members, husband and wife, parents and children, siblings. So my first point is individual responsibility. So in order for a home to be functioning and family relationships among its members to be right, each member needs to have a proper relationship to God. He needs to read their Bible and pray for each other. This is not only true for a family, but for all human relationships. You need to be a Christian. And in addition to a desire to please God, there needs to be love and affection for each other, caring for needs, jointly enduring trials, and listening. A home is something more than a place to stay, eat, and sleep. A poet once said, "'Tis home where the heart is." Or perhaps you could say it this way, "'Where there is no love, there is no home. Every home is a place, but not every place is a home. Material wealth will not turn a house into a home. In fact, statistically, it is more likely to become a hindrance.'" Can you go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11? That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. So the scripture says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrivise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So each individual needs to be selfless and prioritize the good of others before their own interests. Particularly in a home where many non-glamorous chores need to be performed, this attitude is critically important. Each family member has distinct God-designed responsibilities that cannot be delegated. The husband and father will one day give an account to God for how he handled his God-given responsibilities, like every other family member will as well. This might sound old-fashioned and might even be abused in its God-given meaning, but that doesn't change the fact that God designed the structure of the home, and if we seek His blessing on our home, we better fulfill our roles to the best of our abilities and leave the rest up to Him. We have a couple of scriptures here, and the first one is in the book of Ephesians. And it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And the scripture says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Next, can you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1? That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. scripture says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Now go a couple verses ahead to verse 7. And it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being hearers together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And the last piece of scripture I have is in Colossians. Can you go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20? Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. And the scripture says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And the second point is unity. So despite the distinct roles of family members, a well-functioning family seeks cooperation. Being aware of the other's responsibilities and acting accordingly makes the job easier for everybody. Example is getting groceries, cooking, cleaning up, laundry, and etc. are not just God-ordained responsibilities of a wife, mother, or a mother. Anyone can get a blessing by pitching in. Forgiving and sympathizing and showing affection are vitally important. Human affection needs to be consecrated by divine love. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, you don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. It says, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." So a functioning family needs to coordinate their time and talents in order to spend quality time together and help each other out. But you need to be aware of the enemy and stick together against the devil and other dividing forces. The main causes for unhappiness in a home are money, children, drinking, jealousy, in-laws, and staying out late. Trivial things of no real importance, leisure time, selfishness, and religion. Watch out. And my third point is family devotions, prayer, fellowship, and service. So the husband/father has the responsibility to conduct family devotions. Other family members need to have a desire to attend and actively participate. Later on, everyone needs to be committed to incorporate proposed initiatives into their lives and the home. So, a Christian family needs to pray together and for each other on a daily basis in order to enjoy the peace of God in the home. There needs to be fellowship time when the family enjoys time together over a meal, a board game, or another activity. And family members should actively serve together in the local church. It is invaluable for children to see their parents, wives to see their husbands, etc., serve God. Can you go with me to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Scripture says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Be ye doers of the world, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And my fourth point is other family responsibilities. And the first one is respect the name of God. The name of God should never be spoken lightly or thoughtlessly. It should never be used profanely, but with deep respect. And in Psalms chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And you need to respect the word of God. It should be a rule at the house, be the home's charter or constitution, guiding all decision-making and solving of disagreements. Can you go with me to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 and verse 20? Verse 9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." And verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." And another family responsibility is that you need to be actively involved in a local church together. Husbands and / fathers need to take leadership here, taking the family to church and making sure that you attend church services together faithfully. And another thing is to be kind. Unfortunately, lots of barriers fall and language and behavior worsen when you are in your own four walls. That should not be so. The love of God and for each other should produce a constant kindness in speech and actions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And you need to communicate. Lack of communication is often the root of disagreements and misunderstandings. Take time to listen and talk to each other. In that order. Can you go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 11? That's Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 11. And the scripture says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." And my last point for family responsibilities is that you need to be totally abstinent. The curse of many homes today is alcohol. In the past, it might have been primarily the husband or the father's problem, but for some time, women and even children are equally or more exposed and risk of creating problems in the home through alcohol. And in also in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, can you go with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1? Scripture says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." And my fifth point is dating and marriage. Jesus Christ and the church are pictured as bridge groom and bride. Hence, the husband is to love his wife just like Jesus Christ loved the church. It is important that a married couple is always aware that their spouse is more important in their life than any other individual, including parents, children, and employer, and friends.
Boy, that's
Can you go with me to the book of Genesis?
Send this one over to Sherry, right?
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24.
It's not on. You told me not to push one.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 24.
Preach it, brother. Amen.
Get Mexican auto insurance online. BajaBound.com.
Scripture says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Dating should lead to marriage, or it has no purpose. Young people today spend too much time, effort, money, and emotion on courting the other sex without the motive of finding a spouse. An eligible candidate for marriage must be saved and furthermore should be like-minded in important areas of life. Having said that, some young Christians join in marriage very early in order to legitimize a physical relationship. Once the attraction wears off, these relationships often end in divorce. Take your time to truly get to know each other. It is possible for a family to have saved and unsaved individuals, since they might have gotten saved after marriage, husband or wife, or birth, parents or children. In that case, don't seek divorce or split. Fulfill your biblical responsibilities and pray for the unsaved family members to get saved. And we have three scriptures, and the first one is in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14.
Yeah, he's really good at it. You're trying to catch up.
Scripture says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And my second scripture is in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. That's Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. Scripture says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And my last scripture is in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
That's true.
And the scripture says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one of accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind let each esteem of other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus."
What do you know? Remember the whole Bible?
Unless you want me to go in order New York Giants pizza.
And my sixth and final point is the basic question for tonight. And the basic question for tonight is, what if a family event conflicts with a church event? And one of the answers to that is, well, family is very important, but God should be your first priority. I have a motto. It's God first, family second, and then anything else goes third. So if your family event is scheduled with no consideration for your preferences and represents a test for you to choose God or family, the decision should be easy. God. However, in order to avoid conflict and harm to relationships and hurt feelings, explain respectfully your position and try to find another time to recognize the occasion of the family event. And that's all I got for tonight's lesson.
Or we can go to Disney.
No.
Peter, are you there?
Hold on.
Hello?
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 Yeah. Did you, yes, JP?
Oh, I was just asking if you're there. Finished the lesson, and we're only 32 minutes in, so.
Well, that's a very good lesson. That was a good lesson about the Christian home. I've enjoyed it. I'm almost home myself right now. It's true what you said, you know, a lot of homes, money, family. And one of the problems in our Christian homes is that we don't have a family altar. And we don't start our day off as a family in the Lord, and we don't end our day off, you know, as in the Lord. And that's very important stuff there, JP. It's very wise for a young man to preach those things about a Christian home. And how often in-laws can get involved in the Christian home and you know, mother is having financial trouble, gets older, and she moves back in with the children, and that can cause some dissension because, you know, it shouldn't really happen, but it does happen, and it can cause dissension in the family because, you know, mom has her own way, and that's her daughter, and so it's going to put a sway towards the daughter all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you drinking there, buddy? Are you drinking something?
No.
Oh, sounded like somebody was drinking out of a straw. Hey, man. So, brother,
no.
Let me ask you this question. What does this lesson mean to you?
It means a lot to me. I mean, being that my family and you guys, we all live together, and we're a Christian home ourselves. We have our own church here, and we do a lot we try to do as much as we can in the church. You know, my dad, he's the treasurer. Peter, you're the preacher. I teach a youth group. Grandma does the children's class. We all have our own responsibilities, and it all works together. We all work together to make the church happen every Sunday and Bible study on Wednesday.
Amen. Don't
and Grandma Marilyn and my mom work hard on Mondays for the ladies group.
And amen.
So, yeah,
amen.
We always have our responsibilities that we need to do, and we need to communicate. We have to communicate, and we need to talk to each other and make sure that we know what we're doing. We come to our pastor. We walk upstairs and talk to our pastor when we need to for spiritual guidance and knowledge.
Amen. Amen. That's true. That's true. And then we have, you know, we have Sherry Hansen, our treasurer, and, you know, Brother Rice and the older Christians that are there. And it's a wonderful thing that people... you know, have their families. It's good to see Christian families. You know, Brother Rice and his wife, good, great example of a Christian family. He was treasurer up at another church, and you know, he's come down to join us, and you're right. But you know what? He's taught us and lessons, and we've learned from him about the Christian home and tithing properly, and, you know, not that there's a New Testament demand for tithing. You know, you should give as God prospers you, you know, as your heart desires. It's not all about money. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the glorifying of God. And it's true. And if you practice those principles at home, you'll carry them into the church. And so those are important things. And the lesson that you taught tonight about the Christian home and families are very, very important. Amen, brother?
Yeah. Amen, Peter. Again, I don't know if you've taught it or not, but like I said, it's nice to go back and see what you missed, get something that you didn't get the first time. Have you taught this lesson before, Brother Peter?
I'm not sure. What lesson in the series was it? Do you know?
It's lesson 17.
No, I haven't. So you were the first to teach this out of that series of discipleship. And that's funny because we're studying the book of Mark, and we're working on now up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and just how wicked the religious people really were. You know, that and so the next lesson that we'll be covering at the church will be the Christian home. So it's a good primer for those in the church who are listening tonight, those around the world. You know, people forget that Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's a faith-based belief in Jesus Christ, who's forgiven us for our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that we're to love one another, not just in our own family, but our neighbors and the people around us. And we're to spread that gospel message and to help people. But in the home is very important. If you don't have an altar in your home, well, you can sit down as a family and pray together. And, you know, praying together is very good in a family altar because it gives you an opportunity to hear what each member of the family is praying, because we assume sometimes the things that people have on their hearts, and they really don't have those things on their hearts. There's other things that concern them, maybe things that we haven't even recognized. And by praying together, we can hear their prayers, and it strengthens our faith. And that we know what they're struggling with, some of the same struggles we struggle with, some struggles that we don't know about. We can help them. And then it draws us closer as a Christian home and a family. Amen. It's like the Tuesday, Wednesday night service. We have a prayer box, and people submit their prayers to be prayed. And you know, we pray. I pray those prayers, but it also helps me to understand the hearts of the sheep in the church. And it helps me to understand their needs. Which they haven't really, some of them they don't speak about in church. You know, they're just private. And they, you know, it's a pastoral thing where you touch their hearts. Amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying, brother?
I know what you're saying.
And it's a good thing. And so not only having that, but having the right material in the home. You know, Christian books and for children, and Christian books for adults, and good sound doctrine. Those things help build it. The thing is today that there's so many worldly temptations, and husbands and wives can get separated by the small things of life and not the large things. You know, we know to look for the large things, but, you know, Solomon said, take heed to those little foxes, the little foxes that eat the vine. The devil throws the little darts into the family. Oh, she said that, or she's thinking that. And you know, the wife is telling the husband something, or the brother's telling the sister, or the son's talking to the mother, or the daughter's to the father. And we've become a society that we already know what they're going to say, and we really don't. And so we get into crucial conversations, and we just assume what's on somebody's heart, and sometimes we don't even let somebody finish a conversation in our own home and otherwise. And you know, another thing about Christian homes is not to lose respect among our own siblings. And you can do that. You know, people are not taught today the proper way to interrupt a conversation. They run into two people are having a conversation, and they just run in the room, and they'll just start talking. Hey, Joe, you know what? And that's very disrespectful to the two parties that are talking, but it's also disrespectful to the party who's the primary conversant in the party, you know, having that primary conversation. And so what happens is it's the responsibility of the party who is interrupting two people talking to say, excuse me. And that doesn't mean you say, excuse me, and keep talking. You say, excuse me, and wait to be acknowledged. That means I have something I need to say. And if the two people are having a spiritual conversation, you can quench the spirit of God by cutting into a conversation. So sometimes it's better, you know, to allow the Lord to say, you say, excuse me. And then you wait for that person to acknowledge you. And if they don't acknowledge you right away, it could be because that the conversation is so important that they can't stop speaking about it's an urgent conversation. And so you have to wait a minute. And then the other person waits. I mean, it's just conversational manners, common courtesy between human beings. And you wait till that other person stops the conversation. They both know you need to break the conversation by saying, excuse me, you know? And so what happens is a lot of people just go in and say, hey, excuse me, blah, 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 blah. If say you and I are speaking, JP, and a third party came in to speak to you, and said, hey, JP, blah, 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 it's up to you to tell him, excuse me, I'm having a conversation here, and I'll be with you in a minute. You see, it's because they're breaking the conversation to speak with you. If they were breaking to speak with me, I would tell them the same thing. Excuse me. Okay, one second, you know. Excuse me. All right, one second. No. Unless it's a dire emergency, then the person could say again, excuse me, this is important. You know, then okay, break up the conversation. And those are just common Christian courtesy. You know, the Lord said, love one another, keep peace and communication between us, and that's important stuff. And people don't realize it in the home. You know, today children sit at the table and parents, most parents, one parent's working or the other parent's working. They don't even have two parents at home to have a full meal together. And most homes, when I was a child, you know, the father came home and the meal was on the table and mom and dad and the family sat down and they had an evening meal. And if your family's broken up like that where your one mother's working or a father and one sibling's not home, then I suggest in a Christian home what you do is you find one day on the weekend when you're both off and have a family meal together. At least have a family meal together once a day. And children should be mindful as well as adults to use their manners. Just because you're home doesn't mean you leave your manners somewhere. And a lot of people will do that. They'll go out into public and they'll say excuse me when they bump into somebody or walk into somebody accidentally. And at home you just walk into each other and just, well, it's okay, we know each other. No, it's not okay. It's a matter of courtesy. A gentleman has certain qualities that he should carry in his mannerisms, and so should a woman in their Christian mannerisms. Children shouldn't get up from the table until they ask to be excused. And they just don't jump up. You don't reach across the table. People have forgotten those manners. It's not proper, but a Christian should have good manners because Jesus Christ is the God of peace and love. And if we love one another, we should be courteous to each other. You agree with that, brother?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah? I'm not boring you, am I?
No. I accidentally dropped the call. I had a call back. Sorry.
Oh, you dropped the call and had a call back. Oh, that's okay.
But I hear you loud and clear. I understand.
Between our siblings and family. And, you know, those are important things. What do you think, Scott, about that?
I just lost my phone, so, you know. Lost the call?
Well, I'm trying to get it back to the speaker. It's here. And go to speaker.
You in there, JP?
I'm still here.
Okay, I dropped the phone.
Oh. That's all right.
We're heading back to the house. I want to thank you again for taking time to give us this lesson, to share with us some things. Thanks that the Lord is working.
No problem, Peter. Anytime. Peter, are you there? Okay. If you're still listening, I want to say thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for, sorry for the inconvenience, and thank you for listening to what I have to say. I want to thank Brother Peter for giving me the opportunity to speak and give the lesson tonight. It means a lot. It's cool to be on the radio, and it's fun. I like giving the word, and I like serving the Lord. I don't know where Brother Peter went, but I just want to thank you again, and we're going to pray out. It's a little early, but we're going to pray out. All right. If you're listening over the world, I would bow your heads, and we'll pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the blessings in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the things you do for us every day, Lord. Through the good times and the bad times, Lord, you help us, Lord. Thank you for giving me the wisdom and the knowledge tonight, Lord. Helping me stay out of my flesh and giving the lesson to the people listening around the world, Lord. I pray for the people who are sick, Lord. Help them get through the tough times that they have, Lord. Give them physical, mental, and emotional healing, Lord. And again, we love you, Lord. And we thank you every day, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So again, thank you for listening. This has been JP Alba, Nathan on the Spot, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for having me. And have a good night or good morning wherever you're listening from. Thank you and goodbye.
no longer defend. Have a hold on me through your precious amazing grace. And yes, it's a choice that I make each day, to hear your still small voice. This entrance of a window may I repent of my sin and turn away. I repent of my sin and turn away.